Before we get into the sermon this morning, let's ask the Lord's blessing upon this portion of the service as His word goes forth. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, I want to thank You and praise You for bringing all of these folks out here into Your house today. What a huge blessing that we have 6 new members here. Lord, we thank You so much for that. We thank You for answered prayer on so many occasions. Lord, we know that You do hear and answer us. Father, we ask You to be with us even now as we are about to look into Your word. And for the second week in a row, Lord, we are going to be talking about trusting and obeying You, something that many of us seem to have a whole lot of trouble doing. So we pray that You would be with us, especially this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you may be kind of picking up on a theme here. If you were here last week, you did hear our message entitled Trust and Obey. And our text from the message last week was Acts chapter 5. And in that message, we saw that obedience to God is the key to having a joyful and victorious Christian life. No such thing as a happy, disobedient Christian. But we also learned that unless we have a reason to obey, we probably won't. So last week I gave you 4 reasons that we should obey. Reason number 1, obedience to God is a duty to be performed. In Acts chapter 5, verse 29, Peter said to the high priest, "We must obey God rather than man." Reason number 2, our obedience is a debt to be paid. In verses 30 through 32 of this same chapter, Peter talks about how Jesus suffered, how He bled and died upon the cross so that our sins could be forgiven and we could receive eternal life. Jesus paid our sin debt. Because of that, we owe Him a debt of obedience. Number 3, our obedience to God is a delight to be preferred. In verse 41 of Acts chapter 5, it says that the apostles rejoiced. They rejoiced that they had been counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Jesus. And reason number 4, our obedience is a decision to be practiced. I told you last week, God will not force you to love Him. God will not force you to obey Him. He gives you a choice. You have to make the decision, am I going to obey God or am I going to disobey God? Well, now that we're all up to speed from what we talked about last week, our message for this morning is aptly titled Trust and Obey Part 2. We're going to be looking at the same verses that we looked at last week and a few extras, but we're going to stay right around this area here. Now, we've just reviewed the reasons for obedience. Now, folks, let us recognize the requirements for obedience. So what exactly are the requirements for obeying God? What are they? Number 1, your obedience must be informed obedience. How can you obey God if you don't know what He wants you to do? Now, the apostles, they had received a command from God. They knew what they were supposed to do because the angel of the Lord told them. Now, beginning back in verse 17 of chapter 5 in Acts, we're told that because of their mighty preaching, because of the miracles that they were performing, the high priest and all his associates, they hated the apostles. They wanted to put them in jail. Matter of fact, they arrested them and did put them in jail. But that night while they were locked up, the angel of the Lord came and He opened that jail up. And in verse 20, He said, "Go stand in the temple courts and tell the people the full message of this new life." And you know what those guys did? They went and did exactly what God said. Verse 21 says that they went to the temple and began to preach. They were told what to do, and they did it. How about that? See, all true obedience to God, it has to be informed obedience. Don't get the idea, don't make the mistake that you can just kind of go out and do whatever you want and you think that you're living an obedient Christian life. That's not the way it works. What God does not initiate, God does not appreciate. Through the power of His Word, through the power of His Holy Spirit, God will speak to your heart, and He will tell you what He wants you to do. Now, the second requirement for obedience is that it must be intentional obedience. Now, what I mean by that is, it's obedience to God, intentional obedience, that's not just refraining from doing bad things. It's going to God on a daily basis and saying, Lord, here I am. Please let me know what you would like me to do. Junior Hill, longtime Southern Baptist evangelist, he said every day when he wakes up, and he's an old man now, but every day when he wakes up, you know what he does? He says, when I get up in the morning, I say, good morning, General Jesus. This is Private Hill reporting for duty. Man, I like that. Let me ask you something. Are you reporting for duty? Have you reported for duty this morning? Now, people will say, well, look, it's hard to know what God wants me to do. So, you know, my disobedience is not my fault because I don't know what God wants me to do. Well, it might be your fault. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 32 through 34 say this. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not ignore it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. Are you really going to God every day? Are you waiting at His doorway, listening for His instructions? Or are you just ignoring His instructions? Are you reporting for duty? Are you saying, morning, General Jesus, here I am, and I'll do whatever you tell me to do. Just give me my marching orders. Folks, that's intentional obedience. We need more of that. Number three, there must be immediate obedience. In verse 28, the high priest says to the apostles, man, we gave you guys strict orders not to teach in the name of Jesus. Look at verse 29. What's Peter say? We must obey God rather than men. He's not done there. Check this out. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his right hand as Prince and Savior. The high priest said, don't do that. Peter's doing it. He said, don't preach about Jesus. And bang, immediately, what does Peter do? He starts preaching about Jesus. The high priest said, don't you do that. And the first thing he did was immediately he started preaching about Jesus. Folks, that's immediate obedience. Do you know the best time to do what God wants you to do? As soon as you know what He wants you to do. Understanding why, that can wait. Obedience can't wait. Psalm 119, verse 60. We just had this verse in our scripture reading. I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. Or for you poetry lovers out there, how about the words of Alfred Lord Tennyson? Ours is not to make reply. Ours is not the reason why. Ours is but to do or die. And friends, don't ever try to put a question mark where God has put a period. Our obedience should be immediate. Procrastination, that's a form of disobedience. Now, the fourth requirement is there must be inflexible obedience. That means, regardless of the consequences, we do not compromise when it comes to obeying God. We don't do it. Think about the apostles. These guys knew if they preached about Jesus, there was a good chance they were going to be killed for it. Look back at verse 33. That verse says that after the high priest and the Jewish council heard what they said, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. Preaching about Jesus was dangerous in those days, folks. These men lived with the dark cloud of a death sentence hanging over their head at all times. And yet they never backed down. They had inflexible obedience. You know, too many Christians today, they'd rather have selective obedience. That's not obedience at all. You know, I heard about this fella who was bragging to his friend about how smart his dog was. He said, man, I got the smartest dog in the world. This dog is so smart. He's amazing. You just wouldn't believe what he can do. And his friend says, well, give me an example, man. What can the dog do? He goes, oh, he's a genius. He goes, when I'm getting ready to go somewhere, all I got to do is say to my dog, hey, are you coming with me or not? And you know what? Either he does or he doesn't. See, a lot of us, we want to be like that dog. We want to be the one to make the decision about whether or not we're going to obey our master. That is selective obedience. That's not obedience. That's not obedience at all. Now, number five, we need to have some impassioned obedience. Can we please have a little passion for the Lord? That means doing the will of God from your heart. Telling those apostles they better stop preaching about Jesus, that was like telling the sun it better stop shining. These guys were filled with passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. You couldn't shut them up. Do you have a passion for God this morning? I mean, do you have a passion for Him? May God forgive our lukewarm, half-hearted obedience. See, if you're going to serve Him with some joy. Serve Him with some heart. Serve God with some emotion. We need some passion in our Christian lives today. Now, folks, we've talked about the reasons for obedience. We've just looked at the requirements for obedience. I want to talk to you for a few minutes now about something really good, the rewards for obedience. When you live in obedience to God, three wonderful things are going to happen. Number one, the Spirit will be received. Look at verse 32. Here's what the apostle said. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him. Do you want spiritual power in your life? Let me tell you something. God's not going to give spiritual power to rebels. Why should God fill you with the anointing power of the Holy Spirit when you're not living in obedience to Him? God only gives His Holy Spirit and only fills people with His Spirit who obey Him. Quite frankly, there are some people who God just cannot trust with spiritual power. Now, I'm going to ask a question. Normally, I don't ask for a response, but I want one now, so please raise your hand if this is you. How many of you in here today have ever taught a teenager how to drive a car? That'll increase your prayer life, won't it? Now, there's a bunch of you in here, and I wasn't there when you were doing that, but I know enough to know this because I've taught some myself. What's one of the first things, maybe the first thing you show that kid? This is the brake, right? Honey, here's how you stop this thing. We want them to know where that's at. That's common. Now, let me ask you a question. What if you got in the car and you said, honey, here's the brake. This is how you stop this thing. And they said, brake? Man, I don't care about that. Show me where the gas is. I'm not interested in stopping, baby. I want to go, go, go. You would have took those keys back and put them in your pocket and said, nah, you're not ready yet. You're not ready to drive yet. You know, in the same way, let me tell you this. You will never know the release of the Holy Spirit until you understand the restraint of the Spirit. Or as somebody has said it, you'll never know the go until you know the no. God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey Him. And you know, even if you're not a rebel, I want you to think about the way you're living for just a minute, even if it's not an utter rebellion, and think, why should God fill you with His Holy Spirit anyway? What are you going to do with it? I heard a story about this man who push this old beat up car into a service station. Now, this was years ago. Young folks, there really was a time when if you pulled into a gas station, you didn't even have to get out of your car. An employee of the station came out. This was a service station. That's what they called them in those days. An employee would come out. What can I do for you? They would put gas in your car. If you pop the hood, they would check your oil and all your fluids. They'd have a tire gauge, man. They'd check all your tire pressure, top those off. And if you needed a minor repair, they could even do that. Service station back in those days. Full service, they called it. Now, this fella pushing this car was all tore up. Guy had 3 flat tires, big crack in the windshield, headlights busted out, antifreeze and oil leaking all over the ground. Car did not even have a battery in it. He pushes the thing in, and the employee comes out. He says, what can I do for you? And the fella says, fill her up. The man at the station said, what for? People today say, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. God says, what for? Why should I give my Holy Spirit to you? One more time, God gives his Spirit to those who obey him. If you don't have power in your life, if you don't have spiritual power in your life, I'm going to tell you right now, it's because you're living in disobedience. What are the rewards when we obey? The Spirit will be received, and number two, joy. Joy will be achieved. Look one more time at verse 41. The apostles rejoiced. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Jesus. When you obey the Lord, you will become a joyful Christian. That doesn't mean that you're going to emotionally be happy all the time. But you will have that deep down joy in your heart that nothing can ever take away. Disobedient Christians are not joyful Christians. And I think we would all agree we could use some more joyful Christians today. Now, when you obey, the Spirit is received, joy is achieved, and number three, the gospel is believed. Verse 42, day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. Now, why did these guys do that? Because they were obeying God. Well, has God given you a command to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? Let me answer that for you. Yes, he has. What's the alternative to obeying God? It's disobedience. Do you know the results of disobedience? I can give you a couple. You're not going to have any joy in your life. You're not going to have any spiritual power in your life. God has given you a command to share his gospel. Now, if you obey him, does that mean that he will bless your obedience and fill you with his Holy Spirit? Don't take my word for it. Let's see what the Bible says. We got our answer in the very first part of chapter 6 and verse 1. In those days when the number of disciples was doing what? Increasing. These guys were being obedient to God, and the result was the gospel was believed. The church was growing because of obedience to God. You know, there are enough people in this sanctuary this morning. We could turn Bunker Hill and Woodburn completely upside down and inside out for the Lord Jesus Christ if we just lived obedient lives to God. But you know, we got a lot of folks today who think if they show up one Sunday out of 6 or 7, they've done God some great big favor. Man, you ain't doing God a favor. People will come, get ready to come to church, and they say, well, we're going to the service. Folks, that's not quite right. The service is outside of these walls. Where you're at right now, this is the service station. You're in here to spiritually refuel. You're here to get some instruction. You're here to get some encouragement. And then you take that out there. That is where the service is. God has called us to rescue the perishing, to care for the dying. And no matter what else you may be doing, if you're not sharing the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not an obedient Christian. Friend, it doesn't matter how faithfully you attend, how beautifully you sing, or how generously you give. If you're not sharing Christ, you are living a disobedient life. You're guilty of high treason against our Lord and Savior. Now, I understand that we can't all be preachers, but we can all be reachers. And let me tell you, without a doubt in my mind, God wants this church to share the gospel and reach people for Jesus. And you know, hey, if the other churches in our area, if they're doing that, God bless them. We appreciate the help. But we cannot depend on other people to be doing what we're supposed to be doing. We've got to take the responsibility. We have to say, hey, you know, it is our duty, it is our joy, it is our privilege to share the good news of the gospel with people in our community. Now, last week I asked you all a few questions, and I'm going to repeat some of these because you've had a week to think about it. Has God been speaking to your heart, telling you that there's something he wants you to do? Now, don't forget, procrastination, that's just another form of disobedience. Is God telling you to do something or to give something? Just do it. Is there someone you need to make a restitution to? Is there a relationship that you need to have reconciled? Is there somebody you just need to go to and tell them that you're sorry? I'm going to get real with you guys for a minute. I'm ashamed to have to tell you this, but I always want to be 100% honest with all of you. There have been times in my life, and you know, quite honestly, there probably will be again because I'm a sinful man. There have been times in my life where I have spoken to my loving wife and to my beautiful children in ways that are not very becoming for a pastor. And you know, when that happens, it doesn't take long at all before the Holy Spirit brings conviction to my heart. And friends, when that happens, I've got a choice. God has given me a choice. When he lets me know I've done something wrong, I can either obey or I can disobey. And there have been times where I have had to go to my wife or go to my children and say to them, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have got upset about that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done this. I love you. I'm going to try to do better. Folks, you got a choice. The best time to do the will of God is as soon as you know what the will of God is. Now, don't let things build up. Don't let them fester. Do what God tells you to do when he tells you to do it. If God has laid something on your heart, why don't you just do it? Perhaps there's some act of spiritual obedience you've been putting off. We just had six people who became members of the church today. Some of y'all been coming here a long time. You've been being blessed in many different ways. Yet, you've shown no initiative to pursue membership. Why not? Some of you folks in here know you need to be baptized. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings at all. I'm telling you this because I love all of you. And I want you to be joyful and victorious. Some of y'all need to be baptized. You know what the Bible teaches about believers' baptism, but yet you have failed to do it. You failed to carry out that act of obedience. Maybe you don't want to get your hairdo messed up. Maybe you think it's inconvenient. Maybe you're afraid to make a public profession of faith in front of all these people. Folks, let me tell you this as lovingly as I can. God doesn't want your excuses. He wants your obedience. He just wants you to do what he tells you. Now, I'm asking you this morning, is there some area in your life where you're disobeying God, something he's told you to do that you're not doing? Let me share this verse with you. James chapter 4, verse 17. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. Last week, I showed you from 1 Samuel 15, the word of God says that the sin of disobedience is like the sins of witchcraft, iniquity, and idolatry. If you keep playing in the mud after you've been told to get out of it, it's not the mud that's the big thing. It's your disobedience that is the big thing. Don't rebel against God. Trust him. Obey him. Now, as we start to wrap this up, I want to tell you another story that I heard this week. I heard about this father who lived alone with his son. Now, his son was around 18 years old, and they lived in the same house together. It was just the two of them because the wife and the mother in this family, she had passed away and gone home to heaven. And this dad and his son were living together. One very cold winter night, the fire in the fireplace was starting to die down. And the dad says to his son, "Hey, that fire is getting kind of low. Will you run outside and grab another piece of wood, bring it in here and throw it on the fire?" And the son said, "Oh, Dad, man, I don't want to do that. I'm busy doing something over here. I mean, I don't want to do that." And the dad said, "Now, come on, son. Don't you have everything you need here? Don't I provide for you? I mean, everything you got, I pay for. You know, I'm your dad. You're supposed to respect me and honor me. Now, come on. Why don't you go out there and get a piece of wood and put it on the fire, please?" And the boy said, "Nah, I'm not going to do it." Well, the dad, he stands up and he says, "Son, this time I'm telling you. Now, if you're going to live under my roof, son, you're going to have to abide by my rules. And if you cannot abide by my rules, you're not going to be able to abide under my roof." The boy jumps up and he goes, "Oh, so that's how it is. Well, in that case, I just won't live under your roof anymore. How you like that?" He goes upstairs, packs a few things, storms out, and slams the door. This boy goes out into the cold because he refused to put a piece of wood on the fire. Now, he stayed gone. He didn't get out there and wimp out and come back that same night. He was gone several weeks. Finally, after several weeks had gone by, this boy began to realize the error of his ways, and he said to himself, "You know, I've been so foolish. My dad loves me. There's nothing that my dad would not do for me. He's taken good care of me. And now, not only have I disrespected and dishonored my dad by failing to do what he told me, I've turned my back on him because I left. I wonder if I were to go back and beg him for forgiveness, if he would forgive me and let me come back home." So finally, the boy summons enough courage. He goes back to his house. He knocks on the door. And as his father opens the door, he sees his son standing there. He's so happy to see his son. His eyes fill with tears. And his son says, Dad, I'm sorry. I've been very foolish. You asked me to do one little thing, and in my pride and my arrogance and my self-centeredness, I refused. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Can you find it in your heart to possibly forgive me and let me come back home and live with you again? His dad reached out. He threw his arms around his son. He kissed him on the cheek and he said, Son, welcome home. And son, before you come in and sit down, go get another piece of wood and put it on the fire. See, there is no statute of limitations for obeying God, friend. If God has laid it on your heart to do something, you can't just blow by it and think that God's going to forget. He won't forget. Now, as we wrap this up, let me say, this obedience, it begins by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Obey him by giving him your heart, by praying to receive him as your personal Lord and Savior. And you know, if you're already saved, but you're out of fellowship with God because there is some area where you're disobeying him, I want to encourage you to rededicate your life to him today. Trust and obey. For there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, you are the one and only true living God. These other so-called gods that the world worships, Lord, they are all false idols. They are nothing compared to you. As my brother Perry Yates reminded me this morning, Lord, you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You are the Almighty Creator. Lord, put a desire in our hearts to obey you and to trust you. You tell us in your word over and over and over again that we can trust you and that we should obey you. And Lord, so often we fail on both counts. Give us not only a desire to trust you and obey you, but Lord, give us the strength and the faith to actually carry it out. Father, if there be any here today that don't know Jesus as their Savior, I pray that your Holy Spirit would touch their hearts and let them see that need and do something about it. And Lord, for any of my brothers or sisters who may be living out of fellowship with you right now for whatever reason, I pray that they would understand that just like that young boy who came back home and was received by his earthly father, how much more are you, their loving heavenly Father, willing to receive them? Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, folks.